The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. This is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, the Raider 88.1, here at the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Hey, Brian, don't just walk by like that. Students walking by outside the window, just leaving us hanging. Who does that? Come on. Hey, so welcome back to the show. It must be Wednesday at 5 if we're here. We have the big guy behind the glass, Derek Ginter, the station general manager, flying the airplane. I love that. So we're going to sound better. We're going to have crisper audio. I shouldn't say that because actually...
I doubt that highly. The odds are not ever in our favor today.
Jasmine and Jorge take very, very good care of us anyway. Also joined by Jordan Lejean from Media and Communication, Matthew Riley from Political Science. Thank you. Jordan, we weren't sure was going to be here. Was pretty sure he wasn't going to be here. Had other more important things to do, but he's here, so
that's
sweet.
That's stretching it. I wouldn't exactly say that.
Yeah, if it was a paid internship, I think he'd be there.
No, let's not get into that can of worms.
Exactly. Are you a fan of, this is an aside, but are you a fan of paid internships? You know about that whole federal rigmarole and the lawsuits?
Actually, this is probably going to surprise any of our three regular listeners.
Spectacular.
But I actually don't have a problem with unpaid internships.
How about that?
Because... I enjoy, it's experience.
Right. Tremendous benefit in the unpaid internship. Thank you. That's an issue for another day. But okay, we'll do that. Matthew, any opinion on internships?
I'm of the same opinion. I don't see the problem with it. It's experience. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Stop the show right now. Yeah. The three of us all agreed on one issue.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Good night. Good night and good luck.
Don't tempt me.
Derek could save us. Derek, where are you on? You have practicum students here at the radio station.
Since my views do represent those of station management, I also have to fall on the side of being in favor of non-paid intern positions.
How about that? Wow.
Scary. I know that comes as a shock.
Yeah.
It's a rational choice.
I think the horsemen of the apocalypse are riding across the sky right now.
The four horsemen, ironically.
Exactly. So actually, the real reason Derek's here, part of it is because I could have boothed my own show, which he knows would have been catastrophic. So that's
because
one of the
reasons.
Because
we've tried it once before.
Exactly. Yeah, that didn't work well. I'm like, I don't know if anybody remembers the movie Airplane and the landing, but pull a lever, push a button. That's me trying to switch the show. So, but the other reason Derek's here is because the FCC flirted with the idea, they say they've backed off of this, with placing FCC monitors, federal communication monitors, in many, many broadcast newsrooms all around the country to ask important questions. And Derek and I immediately took issue with that idea.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Forthwith.
If not sooner.
I believe it was Commissioner Pai that broke the story
Ajit
on the 10th.
Exactly. One of the
Republican
two of, there are
appointees.
There are five appointees, and he's one of the two Republicans. Mm-hmm.
And basically, the FCC had been working on this for over a year, but the short version is they wanted to do a survey, a voluntary survey.
Yeah.
I believe it was in South Carolina, and was it Charleston or Columbus or Columbia? Anyway, in South Carolina, they wanted to have basically a survey of various news things that go on in newsrooms. They wanted to know who made the decisions, what kind of content was they were producing, what constituted the news and a whole variety of other things. And the irony was not lost on me. Basically, the survey sought to ascertain critical information needs,
CIN needs. Yeah.
So basically, the FCC is looking for sin in America's newsrooms. That's what it turned out to be.
Well, yeah, and the issue, of course, is it's voluntary.
Right.
Of course, it's a study conducted by your licensing agency. So no pressure, but...
Yeah, it's like the IRS asks you, we'd like to ask you a few questions about taxes.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah, so critical...
excuse me, I have to interrupt... how would that? This is your
FCC monitor.
I am the FCC monitor. Now, how would that help minority ownership?
Okay, swell. This is James Greenhall, our FCC monitor that we're stuck with here at the.
I'm monitoring you.
Yeah, clearly. I don't know. And since there's not a minority in the radio station right now, I guess we're probably on the losing end of that question. We're already in trouble for crying out loud.
I have a minority. What does that constitute?
Well, okay, that's true. Yeah, you spent.
You
some...
poor Irishman.
Not even Irishman.
No sympathy at all from Jordan. So yeah, exactly.
We all know how I feel on that.
Yeah.
statements I have made would probably get me in trouble with our good old FCC monitor.
We hope so. So yeah.
Which, first of all, they already try to play God with primetime, so why not let them, you know, run our newsroom? I am not
annoyed.
A fan of the FCC in
general.
You're
just annoyed because you can't say, what was it? You Michael Foxtrot. You can't say that on the air. That's what bothers
you. So. Look, if you want to say the F word at 7 o'clock at night, who cares? I don't care.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to drop the F bomb. Faculty. I said it, so there.
Ooh. That is a dirty word. That is a dirty word.
Dr. K, we've done worse. Remember the last radio session, that band?
Yeah, but Jordan wasn't here. It's his fault.
But fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, exactly right.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, just watch what you say because, you got to be careful because the FCC is watching. So, James, thanks. Appreciate it. We have our own FCC monitor, so we'll try to behave, but it hasn't really worked out for us. Anyway, so what's your take, Derek? You think it's a good idea, bad idea, not as scary as it sounds?
I think it's a bad idea for many reasons, not the least of which was the FCC already has had its teeth pulled in many respects. This would just be the latest. They had an opportunity to regulate content early on. In fact, that was what they were attempting to do, and they still try to do from a certain perspective of renewing station licenses. But it was Mark Fowler, who was the Reagan appointee to the FCC.
Figures.
Yeah, exactly.
Who basically said, you know, this is a free speech matter. And this was back, you have to understand, this was back before conservative talk radio really exploded in this country. And there was only four major television networks, and Fox was just starting to make an appearance, so there would be a fifth network.
And this was not Fox News Channel, this was the Fox Broadcast Network.
Correct.
And they didn't even do news for many years.
Yeah, so this decision to basically do away with what was then known as the Fairness Doctrine was, you know, back in 87. And the argument wasn't for, you know, political views or equal time or we need to have opposing views on topics. It was the argument that Fowler made was, hey, this is a First Amendment issue. Whether you're broadcasting over the air or you're using electrons to get your message out, either over the air or by electrons should have the same protections as those enjoyed by the print media. And that was the argument for doing away with it. And I think at that point, to answer your question, I think at that point it was then determined the FCC will no longer be able to determine what the content should be. That's going to be left up to the station owners, the station managers, those in the newsrooms. And I think what we've seen in the, 25 plus years since is a resurgence to try to bring this back as a means of trying to curb or limit talk radio, especially conservative talk radio. And I think this was just the latest version of that. It would fail for many reasons, not the least of which is it's unconstitutional because it could be potentially a First Amendment violation. But both sides of the political aisle, or I should say all three sides of the political aisle, depending on how many parties we're talking about, they have too much at stake in this, and I just don't think they'd let it fly. That's the bottom line.
A complete aside, I lived in Miami for 14 years, and we used to joke, I was taking a research methods class, and they said, this is a nominal variable. So so it either is or isn't, one or zero, like an integer,
right?
Like gender, male or female. And I was like, you've never been to Miami, have you? Okay, so.
Well, and I've read some, you know, there was such a backlash in the media this past week and a half about it that the FCC said, well, maybe this voluntary survey isn't such a good idea after all.
The onerous part is this is the licensing agency. And this tension happens sometimes in the federal government. In fact, a good example is the NTSB falls under the FAA. So one agency's job is to promote commerce through aviation, and the others is to promote safety. And they're both within the same agency, and there's inherent tension. I think having the FCC run this study is inherently problematic. Had some academic done it, it would have been better.
Well,
I have a lot of broadcast journalism friends on my Facebook, and it exploded with dissent.
Well, I think you just made a very key argument against it, which is, you know, what is the FCC trying to find out in these newsrooms? What content is being produced and who's making the decisions? Well, academics within mass communication have been asking these questions for years. They already have most of the answers. So, you know, this is just the FCC trying to reinvent the wheel again. If they just would Google, you know, communications research and rooms, there's a plethora of information available that would already answer their questions.
Yeah, so there's a study about Mr. Gates, the original gatekeeping study about how an editor chooses which stories get in the newspaper, which don't. About 10% of available content gets into the newspaper from all available wire sources. That study was first done, I believe, in 1949. So, yeah, these questions have long since been answered.
Or as Dr. K calls it, his glory years.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly right.
you know, as someone who's interested in journalism and broadcast news, I do think there are topics that, as an informed electorate, we as Americans need to know about. Sort of like
informed electorate.
I know it's scary. It's sort of like broccoli on the radio, broccoli on television. We need to eat broccoli, but the FCC can't force us to eat broccoli. Instead, we want the latest on what Bieber's up to. You know, what cocaine-induced drug euphoria driving rampage in Florida did he, you know, get arrested for? So basically, it's let the marketplace decide. And I think the original, when Mark Fowler, as chairman of the FCC, deregulated that particular aspect back in 87, I think it was prophetic, because the argument he used was it was a First Amendment issue and that there were a greater number of media outlets. Back in the late 80s, he was making this argument. There was plenty of media outlets so that, you know, the gatekeepers on radio and television were no longer really gatekeepers anymore. And I think that argument can probably be extended even today in the 21st century, where we have a limitless amount of cable and satellite channels. We've got the internet. You know, there's no one's got the corner on the marketplace of ideas anymore. So.
And exactly. We can self-select our news, and that's a really important issue and, you know, a clear distinction. And you mentioned cable, which the FCC doesn't even extend to. So, for example, there aren't any obscenity rules on cable because you pay money, you invite that into your home.
Exactly.
So let's take a break, and I'm going to ask Matthew and Jordan coming up, you got any favorite Chuck Norris-isms? And I'll explain why in a couple minutes. We'll be back on The Devil's Advocate here on KTXT. Welcome back to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider, 88.1. Hey, by the way, I didn't mention this earlier. You can join us on social networking on Twitter, The Raider, 88.1, and on Facebook, The Raider, 88.1. So please feel free to share some comments. Derek's pretty excited because we're mentioning
that. Had to remind you, we also have all the previous shows.
Oh, that's right.
On the website, the KTXT website.
You now, through your own labor, which I watched you do, have all the previous shows streamed on the website, which
maybe
is very
cool. Maybe
the last
3 weeks aren't posted yet, but it's... They're there. Most
and what's
of them
the site? And it's funny because I always Google KTXT The Raider because call letters have changed. Things have moved around over the years. What's the best way to find the site?
KTXTFM.org.
Okay, perfect. And you can go there. And I think you need there's a tab for shows.
Yeah, programs. Okay. Click in Devil's Advocate
perfect.
And all
so,
of
yeah,
the.
So, yeah, all the previous shows are on there and.
Because
a couple of them are pretty darn funny.
Since the FCC is going to ask for all of the information, we might as well just go ahead and make
we
it.
We may have to hide those, too.
That's right.
I don't know. We may, yeah. Those. So we're in trouble because we can be monitored retroactively
exactly.
Going back a year and a half, which
is real
trouble.
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of redacted statements on those shows.
Yeah, our shows are about to be 14 minutes long instead of an hour. So that'll be fun. So, Matthew, do you have a favorite Chuck Norris?
Oh, God,
you know what
those
I mean?
Were...
I love these things.
Those were hilarious back when I was in high school. But you know, I used to hear so many of them. I've forgotten most of them.
Jordan, you think of any? You remember any?
One time a scorpion bit Chuck Norris, and after a week of agonizing pain, the scorpion died.
All right. One of my favorites. Chuck Norris actually died 6 years ago, but the Grim Reaper's afraid to come for him. So I've always liked that one. And then, did you know ghosts sit around a campfire and tell Chuck Norris stories? True story. Okay, so why is Chuck Norris in the news? This is huge. This is, if this wasn't already a foregone conclusion, this is now a foregone conclusion.
Did he fight Bruce Lee again in a new movie?
No, that'd be good though. That'd be good because I think he's only 70s.
That would actually be a much more worthwhile news story.
It would. It'd be much more relevant. So Ted Nugent, as you know, toured with Greg Abbott and all kinds of controversy because Ted Nugent at some point in his career apparently had an affinity for, let's say, members of the opposite gender much, much younger than him. So some of those stories floated around. They don't appear to have hurt Greg Abbott. We'll talk about poll numbers in a minute. But I guess Ted Nugent wasn't right-wing enough to tour with Greg Abbott. Look, Greg Abbott will win. It's kind of like the scene.
He called the president a subhuman mongrel. How much more right-wing can you get than that?
Yeah, that's just deplorable. And
exactly.
Yeah, and you were here 2 weeks ago when I talked about, like, I wanted to support Republican candidates and say there were no dog whistles, and then the idiots brought some out and threw them in their ads, and that's Ted Nugent, except at least dog whistles are subtle. Ted Nugent's just, yeah, like...
He's an idiot.
Yeah, he's about... His speech is about as subtle as that arrow blade on the front of his hat that he always wears.
And he's also a terrible musician. Let's just throw that out there. His music is awful.
Fine, Mr. Beatles.
If you can call that music,
okay, whatever.
I say with my air quotes.
He can play a guitar. I mean, for crying out, of course you can too.
Anyone can play a guitar. Exactly. To make something that's actually worthwhile and decent,
okay, so
it's totally different.
So the reason I'm bringing up Chuck Norris, and this is inevitable, Chuck Norris is now campaigning with Greg Abbott. I say game over. So did you guys see, everybody saw Raiders of the Lost Ark in here?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so if an army marches with the Ark of the Covenant before them, they cannot be defeated. That's Chuck Norris with Greg Abbott.
I don't see movies until 60 years after they've been released.
Okay, so you're halfway there. You're halfway there, so we're close. Yeah, because that's a really old movie that I watched again just recently over the weekend. But I listened to the same 14 songs and watched the same 10 movies over and over again.
Yikes.
So I'm just not very original.
You're going to have to open your horizons.
Sorry.
I'm very active with my hands today. I'm just throwing that
out
there. I like
that. Careful, Matthew. He's on the same side of the desk.
Oh, so.
And that's your bad finger side, so you got to watch out. You may want to switch
chairs.
I'll just
snap it back into place.
Again.
just letting the folks know.
Yeah. Speaking of Chuck Norris, Matthew's just going to dislocate and relocate his finger because he can. So.
Because
he can. Oh, gosh, I cannot believe he went there. So.
Oh,
it's all right, guys. I got it covered.
Yeah. Like he said last week, I have another hand, so, you know. Anyway, yeah. So I think it's funny because there were some polling data before Ted Nugent appeared with Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott had about a 7-point lead. After Ted Nugent, Greg Abbott has about an 11-point lead, which I think is kind of interesting.
Because it's Texas. They don't care.
Tell you what.
Lucifer himself could campaign with Greg Abbott.
And maybe did last week.
And Texas would still vote for him. Because people, I have always said this, okay? My home state is crazy in a lot of respects. But at least people will look at the issues. If they don't vote Democrat, it's because they legitimately agree with what the Republican is running on. And this state, they don't care. Greg Abbott could run on a platform of pushing old people off a mountain, and people would say, I ain't voting for the Democrat.
Well, that is the Republican platform, but still.
Pretty much.
How tall a mountain are we talking about?
Pretty tall. Well, we're in Lubbock, so it ain't too tall.
Yeah, but this is the high ground of Texas, I've heard.
Would that be considered euthanasia at this point?
I don't know.
We're pro-life.
Yeah,
I suppose. I suppose it depends who you ask. Yeah, we'll talk about pro-life coming up in a minute and some other issues. The First Amendment. We'll get to that. There's a lot on the plate today. Still in Texas politics, this lead is big and it's going to grow bigger. Wendy Davis had a very, very good fundraising month, an unusually good fundraising month, almost $3 million in a month, which is a whole lot more money than we bring in here in the radio station. So
true that. I have to pay, I don't even get my free $2.50 to print anymore.
That's right.
If you were listening to the show a couple of weeks ago, I was very angry about that, and I still am.
And if you weren't, it's streaming on the website at Show 16,
exactly.
So go look. That'll apparently come up again and again. So anyway, Wendy Davis raised more than Greg Abbott over the last month, but that gives her a lot of money in the bank, $11 million cash on hand. Is it enough?
Well, I think the issue here is Wendy Davis is popular among Democrats, but the problem is that we've had tons of elections where there's been a candidate that's helped. Bill White was very popular among Democrats, but the idea is you have to get, you know, that more than that 40% that you're going to get from your base.
14%.
And that's where I don't think, you know, Wendy Davis has done well so far. She might. Of course, the big vote in Texas, as it's always going to be, probably always will, is going to be the Hispanic vote. If they can have some Hispanic outreach and get those people to come out and vote, then she might have a chance. But as it looks, you know, like I said, people, they're going to vote for a Republican no matter what he says.
Well, one of the arguments from folks on the left, and there's a lot of data to support this, and in fact, you and I have talked about this previously on the show, but enormous population growth in Texas overwhelmingly led by folks who are Latino, Hispanic. I don't know what percentage of them are ineligible to vote for one reason or another, but a lot of them don't vote. And voter turnout rates among those Hispanics is very, very low, sometimes in national elections down in the 30% range. And the thinking among Democrats has been, if we could motivate these folks, we could get them really excited, they would come out. There are enough Democrats in the state, even though I was metaphorically or rhetorically saying 14%. There are a lot of Democrats in the state of Texas. Their voter turnout rates, especially among Hispanics, are awful. And so that's viewed as one of things. Is Wendy Davis a candidate, and maybe with Letitia Vanderpute, enough to get people really excited to get that kind of turnout among Democrats?
Well, I think part of the problem, too, is, and I've actually heard this, you know, said before, is the idea that if the Republicans keep trying to peg her as, you know, abortion Barbie, which it seems like they're going to have no problem doing.
Is that wrong?
Yes, it is very wrong. It's absolutely wrong. But it's like, I think that could have an impact with a lot of these Hispanic and Latinos who are also Catholic, where that becomes a big issue for them. So I'm not sure if Wendy Davis is the right candidate for that. But then at the same time, you're never going to have the right candidate in Texas, unless, you know, Ann Richards comes back from the dead. She might be the only Democrat that could win.
She's probably winning in Florida right now.
Sure.
So if the voters are dead,
that was a Pat Buchanan stranglehold.
Exactly. By the way, the Catholic vote split 50-50 between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama.
Which
so
was
abortion
surprising.
Is just not that big an issue among Catholics. So Wendy Davis has $11 million in the bank. Where do you think Greg Abbott falls, money in the bank?
Yikes. That's there are so many things to be
said. Is that a loaded question somehow that I missed?
No, it's just
Jordan's mind maybe works
differently. There are just so
mine.
Many terrible things I can say about Greg Abbott that
okay.
just
you'll just be
our late. FCC monitor would have a field day with because it would not be furthering the discourse
remember,
in any way, shape, or form.
Greg Abbott was right here in Lubbock yesterday, so behave. He might still be around.
He might
have his own monitors around. James O'Keefe might be around trying to.
Oh,
to
let's
video
not even get started on that story.
We'll
either.
Do that next. So Wendy Davis has $11 million. Greg Abbott has $30 million cash on hand. So
which brings up
disparity.
The fact that elections should be publicly funded. Give them each $500,000 and then be done with it. This is a waste of time.
Okay, this
and
is
waste
typical
of money.
Jordan, and thank you, Derek, for shaking your head. Now he's veering off into ridiculous territory.
I have to say,
where I can comfortably disagree.
The Supreme Court has not yet ruled.
What Jordan's saying is he wants elections to be paid for by me. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, the Supreme Court has not yet ruled that people are persons.
Well,
corporations are people.
Corporations
but people
are people.
People yet. No.
Yeah.
People
exactly.
aren't people yet. So when you say they should be publicly funded, I think there's going to be a problem.
Hell, I'm really confused.
Okay, well, then you
so
know what? Okay,
reference.
We can
Sorry.
Set a cap.
Sahara?
Let them
okay.
fundraise however they want, but set a cap at how much they can spend.
Well, let's talk
well,
about...
Well, first of all, if we're going to talk about the Citizens United thing, that's just a whole another can of worms where how are you going to say a corporation is a person and can spend as much money as it wants? That's stupid.
Okay, well, that's how they ruled. But anyway, the corporations have the money. And
well, they also made George Bush president, and we know how well that went.
But part of that ruling was, now the Florida Supreme Court made George Bush, the Supreme Court of Jeb Bush made George Bush president, if you want to go there. But okay, the argument with the fundraising issue is kind of interesting. Wendy Davis, about half of her money came from outside the state of Texas, and I think that's going to continue. And I've said this before, she's going to continue to be a dynamo raising money in Texas from Democrats around the country. And I've also said repeatedly, I think she may in some ways adversely impact some competitive races around the country because she's going to suck that money into Texas from a race in a state like, I don't know, Indiana, Ohio, Florida, which are purple states, where a Democrat in a close race might have won with an extra 20, 30 grand, and that money's going to come to Texas and cost them a seat. And I think that's going to be a factor.
I don't think so. I think if you have enough money that you're shipping money across state lines to a race that has no real bearing on you, Are you really going to be hurting for cash that much that you're not going to give to another candidate?
But remember, the individual limit is $2,300, I think it is now, is the individual limit for donating to a candidate. And so
directly to a candidate.
Right, but that's what I mean.
I mean, you can still...
Yeah, but you're gonna donate to you know, if you have, and Lord
you know
knows,
just
never,
as well as I do that there are ways around this.
No, but Lord knows I've never had $2,000 to give to
me
a candidate.
Either.
I'd have trouble putting that kind of money into my own campaign if I ran for an office. But
yeah, because your wife wouldn't give you any money.
Exactly, and she'd spend more than that campaigning against me openly. Maybe even running against me. It'd be pretty fun to watch. Actually, I would love to do that just for the show. It'd be fun. Plus, I'd make a cool documentary. Just not that I've given this any thought. Anyway,
clearly,
but if you're gonna go. Give $1,000, $1,500 and really stretch to a candidate. Well, you just shorted your Ohio candidate by sending that money to Texas. And I think that's going to happen over and over again around the country.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
So
I won't be here because, of course, I'll have graduated by the time this election actually happens.
And left
but
the
we'll
state.
See. Exactly.
Yeah, short timer.
Amen to that.
So conservative video activist, one of Jordan's favorite people, James O'Keefe. This is the guy that's famous for going after Acorn dressed like a bad TV 70s TV show pimp in a big fur coat, and I mean he'd have walked through the door and instead of talking to him I'd have just burst out laughing. But James O'Keefe is sort of a video insurgent, goes around and tries to catch Democrats doing improper things. He went after Battleground Texas, and Battleground Texas was caught on video apparently against state rules, keeping state voter registration information for their own purposes. So they were building their own contact list from voter registration docs. All they were supposed to be doing was registering people to vote, not keeping that information for Battleground Texas. Battleground Texas is not a nonpartisan voter registration organization. It's a group tasked with a very aggressive effort to try to turn Texas blue. And so James O'Keefe is back, and people are talking smack about that.
Well, so. If it's anything like his Acorn expose, it'll turn out that they did absolutely nothing wrong, because as we know, most people in the unedited video showed that most of those Acorn people did exactly that. They laughed in his face.
Yeah, 9
when
out of
he
10
showed
I think
up.
It was, and he no. selectively edited, which
exactly
happens. Like
so,
NBC selectively edited the tapes over the Trayvon Martin 911.
Absolutely call. It's a terrible, despicable thing for any person to do to
and the Olympics.
Oh, that's yeah, right. Let's not even get started on that. Yeah. NBC is terrible at doing live sports. Let's just, if we're going to get me on my other high horse.
We are going to talk sports later.
They're terrible at that.
We'll come back to that.
It sucked when it used to, I want to watch a match at Wimbledon. You know, in the day, maybe in 1980, it was okay when, they put a match from Wimbledon on at 3 in the afternoon. But in 2014, if the match happens at 8 in the morning, I know it happens by 8:15. So put it on live. There's nothing I hate more than tape-delayed sports.
You Sorry. Can't you can't avoid spoilers? Is that your problem?
No. I can't turn on my phone and go on Twitter without somebody saying what happened,
well,
which is to
I'm
be
saying.
Expected.
Can you ignore those? It's just okay,
no,
never mind.
Not when I know
no,
that they
I can't.
No when I know they have the technology to play it live, just play it bloody live.
And I shouldn't make fun of him because he's actually more informed than many of our journalism students. There, yes, I did go there, so we'll see. And actually, I'm delighted by that. Now, what's interesting is if you go and you know this ESPN3 and some other options, you can log in and you can choose to watch the match live on your phone at 8:15 in the morning. So why does it have to be put on the broadcast network?
Because it just makes sense. If you're going to play it at 3 in the
but
afternoon, why
money.
Not just play it live?
My wife's been insulting me with that for like 30 years now. It's just common sense. I'm
it
like,
is.
Well, I feel really
You're a
stupid
Republican.
Now.
We already know you have no common sense.
Okay, well, that's well said. That kind of cuts to the chase. So let's do this. We'll take another break and come back and talk about some national politics, including a couple of your favorite people, John Cornyn.
Yikes.
Ted. You know, I'm going to make John Cornyn look good, and you're going to be shocked at how I do this, but it's going to be interesting to see. So we'll be back in a couple minutes on The Devil's Advocate here on The Raider, 88.1 KTXT. Hey, welcome back to The Devil's Advocate. Dr. K here coming to you live from the College of Media and Communication, joined by Derek Ginter, General Manager, Behind the Glass.
Thanks for having
General
me.
General Manager, Derek Ginter.
I'm always better under glass.
Media and Communication. Matthew Riley from Political Science. Appreciate you guys joining us.
Always.
Hey, Jordan, I'm going to make you at least a little more sympathetic to John Cornyn. Do you think that's possible?
No.
Okay. I'm not sure it's possible for me either after what I played on the radio a couple weeks ago, but... So during the filibuster by Ted Cruz, and by the way, Dr. Cruz Day is coming up. There's a Dr. Seuss. See, I didn't get my coffee.
Who the heck is Dr. Cruz? Oh, so can I just do my whole rant again about him reading Green Eggs and Ham, which is a book about a person who just talks terribly about something he's never tried. So Ted Cruz read that book as he's filibustering something that he says is terrible that he's never tried.
Evocative of Obamacare, maybe? I think so. Okay, sorry. I love when his head like misshapes and he hits the glass. It's kind of fun to watch. So while Ted Cruz was doing his filibuster to try to, how do they phrase it, destroy the full faith and credit of the United States and destroy the global economy. I'm sorry, he's actually just trying to delay the debt ceiling increase without some kind of deal and trying to hardball Obamacare. Two votes by the Republicans were needed in the Senate to end the filibuster, and the two votes were your two favorite people in the Senate. Senator Mitch McConnell.
Go Senator ahead. Huckleberry Howe.
Yeah, exact.
From a great day in Kentucky. Shaking his jowls.
In Kentucky, we don't look favorably upon. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Senator McConnell. And John Cornyn, our own Texas Senator John Cornyn.
It's surprising, but I can't. It's hard to give them credit.
Backstabbed his own fellow senator. Backstabbed by your own senior senator colleague.
It's hard to give them credit for doing the right thing, though. Like, do you expect a pat on the back when you stop at a stop sign? No. So they voted against ending this pointless filibuster. It's hard to be like, rah, rah, them. It just shows how low the bar has been set for Republicans when you can be like, we're so excited that two of them did something that actually makes sense.
Well, and now Cornyn's taking heat for it. Not enough, I think, to cost him the race, but he's actually taking fire for it.
Yeah, right. As if all his racist, you know, campaign ads don't cost him the race. Simply voting against Ted Cruz isn't.
I may have to go revisit some of those radio ads next week, and we'll go revisit those when we're settling around who's going to be in it. You think there'll be a runoff elections next week? By the way, I didn't mention when we were talking about Texas politics, early voting continues two more days. It ends this Friday, the last day of February, the 28th. Election day is next Tuesday, March 4th. So if you are eligible to vote, please go out and vote. It's very convenient the next couple of days to early vote.
That's right. We got a voting center even in our own recreation center. So go there. Go. And it's really easy to vote on campus.
Yeah, and you don't have to go to your precinct to early vote. You can go all over the place to early vote. And so that's a very nice convenience. But a couple more days to do that. Otherwise, next Tuesday is the election day. I teach two classes on Tuesday. I suppose if a bunch of students tell me they're missing class because they had to go home to vote in Dallas and
good
Houston.
Good luck with that.
You know, that might work out. We'll see.
Yeah, right.
But you didn't hear it here. We're about to find out if any of my students listen to the radio. So it'll be fun to see. If my class is cleared out, it'll be my own fault because I went there. But
and of course, it's not going to be.
Voting's important, and Jordan likes to say this, and I like to say this. If you didn't vote, shut up.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
got no reason to complain.
Or as Mayor Glenn Robertson's wife told me one time, you can't vote in Texas, you're not important.
Oh, ouch. Well, okay. That's about a third of the state's population, I think, she's talking about. That's kind of interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
That was a fun evening.
Yeah, all right. Good luck, Battleground Texas. That's going to be interesting. So, another of your favorite people, favorite politicians, just a little to our west, just, you know, New Mexico, just hopscotch right over New Mexico. And, you know, you love this lawmaker. It's funny because the governor is stuck. She's not quite sure where to go. She was the crusader of crusaders a couple of years ago on a similar policy. But this year, she's kind of stuck. And New Mexico actually plays a factor in this. You guys may remember a case last year in New Mexico. A gay couple wanted to have a wedding cake for their wedding and for their reception. And so they went to a cake maker in New Mexico. And the cake maker said, I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable making you a wedding cake for a gay wedding. It violates my personal religious views and I'm not comfortable. And they went crazy. It became a national news story. They filed suit. And it turns out, and there are many historical examples of something like this. People think things happen just sort of organically, accidentally, and they didn't. This was a baker that was known to not be supportive of gay marriage and cakes. And so this couple sought that baker out to try to make this landmark case. This has happened many, many times before. You guys may not be aware of this. A good example, the Scopes monkey trial. That was not an accident. This teacher intentionally decided to teach evolution in class. They talked him into it. He did it on purpose, knowing there was going to be a legal challenge. And so he decided to go ahead and teach it in class to set up the lawsuit.
Well,
that
even
ended up leading to
Rosa Parks
Rosa
on the
Parks,
bus was not
absolutely.
Actually, you know, as right. spur of the moment
was
as people
not
would
spontaneous.
Like to make you believe.
And then, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's
no, absolutely
simple strategy.
Not.
It's a legal strategy. And in all these cases, it did lead to, I think, some important changes. Arizona, in anticipation of something that apparently had not happened in the state of Arizona, decided to shoot first. And state lawmakers there passed. This is where John McCain's not conservative enough. But that's the state we're talking about. Jordan's shaking his head appropriately. The state lawmakers passed a law there that said, look, we're going to protect religious freedoms first. And if you have religious grounds for refusing service to any customer for any reason, you're protected by your religious liberties. It's being called the anti-gay bill, even though homosexuality, gay marriage doesn't appear anywhere in the bill. I think, is that dog whistle again? Does everybody know what this is about? Is that what's...
Well, you don't see many people saying, well, I'm not going to serve Christians, so that's why I need this thing. This makes me so
His head's misshapen
angry.
Again. I love
it
this.
It makes me so angry. You know, I'm going to say, back in the 60s...
By the way, Jordan, that's the only reason it's in the show, because... Okay, sorry.
Hey, it's good. It's good for business.
It's good business, exactly.
Good business. Back in the 60s, there was a folk artist named Phil Oakes, and he wrote a song called Here's to the State of Mississippi.
Only you would know an ancient folk artist. Okay, go ahead.
Hush. it's accurate, but hush. And he wrote a song called Here's to the State of Mississippi, and what it said was, find another country to be part of. And that's essentially how I feel about Arizona at the moment. Just leave. Find a different country to be a part of. We don't want you anymore.
Nice.
I mean, are you kidding me? So, you know, for many, many, many years, the Mormon Church taught a doctrine that said that people with darker skin had darker skin because they had wronged God. So can someone use this law to say, I'm not going to serve any African Americans or Latinos because they're away from God? Is that what religious liberty means?
Jordan, it's no accident. It's no accident Katrina struck New Orleans. I'm just saying.
Of course not. It was all because of the gays. The gays caused Katrina. Please.
Yeah.
It makes me so angry.
Why didn't the hurricane strike San Francisco or Montrose in Houston then? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to apply logic again. My bad.
The idea of religious freedom is such a joke. It is such a joke. There's nothing that irks me more than when Christians in this nation try to act like they're the most persecuted group out there. Like, oh yeah, it's so hard to be a white male straight Christian in this nation. Shut up. Shut up. No one's taking away your religious liberty just because you have to make a cake for someone. Shut up.
The only defense, I will say, there is a built-in defense. The First Amendment explicitly protects, and it doesn't give Arizona any protection at all, but the U.S. Congress cannot establish any religion. Marriage rights, gay rights, none of that is mentioned or protected in any way in the Constitution. Religious liberties clearly are, and explicitly in the First Amendment. So that does make it a compelling
argument. Yeah, but we haven't really adhered to that for 50 years either, since we have under God on our money, we have under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. So we sort of pick and choose how we like to interpret the First Amendment, even though the Supreme Court has ruled time and time again that Congress not being able to establish a religion also means that Congress cannot show favor for religion over non-religion. So yes, having under God in the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional. Having it on our money is unconstitutional, but we don't really have much of a fight about that. So,
well, and a history lesson, and this is one of the things, again, where I'm going to agree with Jordan, so look for those four horsemen. Under God, remember, was not originally part of the Pledge of Allegiance. It was added strategically in the 60s during the Cold War to target those godless communists in the Soviet Union. And I also have no sympathy, no defense for states in the South that want to show the Confederate battle flag on their state flag, because the Confederate battle flag was not on the state flag of Mississippi until the 1950s. It was added later as an obvious stick in the eye, and I'm appalled by that. I mean, the battle flag appeared later. So I think it's important to know that history, because to me it dramatically changes the context.
History.
Also, to add to the Cold War thing,
You call it history. I call it recent memories.
It's funny because the Russians, actually, they follow the Orthodox Christian version. So technically, they're more...
Not the ones in Crimea crushing heads right now.
Well, that's another story. But technically, the Russians, they follow a more accurate version of Christianity due to the Orthodox. So I just find that ironic.
Yeah, this is the guy whose phone is targeted by the Mossad and who has sympathy for Vladimir Putin.
One,
so I'm not sure Matthew's reliable in this area.
One thing about this story that has actually made me quite happy.
Is it Jan Brewer?
No. just as a fan of pro football and the fact that there's now this huge thing about Michael Sam coming out and the NFL saying they support him, there has been very, very big talk that if this law is put into place, the NFL might take the Super Bowl that's scheduled in a couple of years from Arizona. And it wouldn't be the first time the NFL has done that. In 1993, the Super Bowl was scheduled to be in Arizona. Arizona voted not to recognize Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and the NFL took it away. So I think that could play a big role in whether this happens. And kudos to you, NFL, for actually standing up
actually,
for something for once in
based
your life.
On the last Super Bowl, that's probably not a big loss.
Yeah, that's a good point. So
hey, it brings a lot of money.
I don't know. It
doesn't matter how terrible
Denver
the game
is. In the Super Bowl,
is.
Then I don't care where you play it. I won't
doesn't
be
matter how terrible the game is. It still brings a lot of money. Doesn't
that's
matter
true.
How bad the halftime show is either, because Bruno Mars is terrible. But,
hey,
you know,
I enjoyed his halftime show.
His show was terrible.
I heard a bunch of folks talk. I still didn't see it. I didn't know who Bruno Mars was. But when I heard a lot of people say it was the best part of the Super Bowl, I thought, wait, okay, that's a double-edged sword. So no. Jan Brewer is the governor of Arizona, and the last word on this, I think this is fascinating because she was not at all reticent to take a hardcore right-wing stance on an issue a couple years ago, but this bill landed on her desk a day or two ago. She has until Saturday to sign it. This is the kind of thing you would have expected her to jump on and sign off, and you know, maybe Walker in Wisconsin would have done it without hesitation, or you know, up in Kansas.
Yeah, you would have signed it with the blood of union members.
Exactly. Well earned, only public sector union members. But okay. But Jan Brewer is sitting on this thing. She's meeting with lots and lots of folks, supporters, opponents. I'm guessing, in fact, I'm certain she's talking with political strategists, which is this is a lose-lose, and which way do I lose less, you know? And so I think she's trying to figure out the way to hurt her party the least.
Which, of
in
course,
coming
says
elections.
So much about where we are as a country. And giving people fundamental rights is something that we have to look at as a lose-lose political situation.
Okay.
We have
fundamental constitutional right to have a wedding cake made
probably,
by anybody you choose. I don't
probably going to get me killed, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have no proof whatsoever that there is a God. Yet we're going to pass these laws that just in case it might make him angry. We know for a fact that there are gay people. Every single person out there in this world knows a gay person, okay? But yet we're going to deny them their rights just because this mythical person might have a problem with it. Shut up.
Derek, gay people, gay person, are they the same thing? I can't remember. We'd have to go back to the FCC.
Yeah, we'd have to refer back to our FCC guidance on that one.
Yeah, you know, it's a valid point. And the scary thing is, and this will cause you to go to the website and go back through previous episodes, that is still not the most scandalous thing Jordan has ever said on the radio show. So it's up to you to go find it.
That's
but
terrible.
I'm telling you, it's out there.
Essentially, having all the shows online mean I will never have a job anywhere, ever.
He's narrowly been missed by lightning several times, leaving here at 6. I think it's going to happen again today. So I'm just saying, we'll see. If it ever actually hits, then we'll know. Anyway,
lightning
I just thought it was
Lubbock, is that actually a thing?
Yeah, that's true.
So.
It's true. We'd have to get rain, and it doesn't rain here and hasn't since 1943.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a valid point. Let's do this. We're going to take a little break, which folks in Crimea could really, really use right now. That's actually near Sochi, near Ukraine, Western Russia. I almost said Soviet Union. We're going to come back and talk about foreign policy. The story's getting better, and it's because the president of Ukraine is missing. And he's actually right here in the radio studio. So we'll be back on The Devil's Advocate in a couple of minutes. Oh, hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocate. We're here on KTXT, The Raider, and it must be Wednesday between 5 and 6. All I'm going to say is Viktor Yanukovych, who a couple of days ago was president of Ukraine, is not in the Ukraine. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say. He's not there anymore. So was deposed.
And we might not also be in Lubbock, Texas. We may be in a place. It starts with a C, but
yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We might be broadcasting live from, I'm not going to say it, but the initials are Crimea.
Where my godless heathenism is more accepted.
Your orthodox heathenism.
Exactly. So this is a complicated issue. The violence has gotten worse.
Has it?
Yeah, Yanukovych is deposed and is missing. There is an emergency meeting now in the parliament to try to form a new government. There's talk of a coalition government. To remind everybody, the crux of this issue just started back in November when Viktor Yanukovych, who was then still the president of, I say get your head down, still the president of Ukraine, and he was looking at, he was getting suitors from Europe to join the EU and being courted. Is that the right word? Is that too polite a word? Strong-armed?
I believe when it comes to Putin, it's appropriate.
Okay, so he was being courted.
He had a gun to his head.
If Putin was shirtless on a horse, he was being courted. Yeah. If it was Putin with a gun in his hand, which is the old KGB chief.
What if he was shirtless with a gun in his hand?
It probably happens a lot on Friday and Saturday nights.
That sounds
Vladimir
like a terrible
Putin.
Skinamax movie.
All right, it's going to be on next week because you said it here. Anyway,
sign me up, Hollywood.
So I think it was strong arm, and maybe not with a gun in his hand, but perhaps holding a can of motor oil or a gallon of gasoline in his hand. I think Yanukovych was really forced to side not with Europe, which was overwhelmingly the popular majority preference of upwards of 2/3 of the folks in the country, but rather he sided with the Russians. And I think a big reason he sided with the Russians is was a great song in Miami they play during hurricanes when the power goes out, which is Yo Quiero Gasolina. It's a great song. So anyway, they need gas and oil, which comes from Russia in the Ukraine. And I think that was a huge factor in pushing them over there. So where do you think... You think Yanukovych is actually not here in the studio with us? Where do you think he might be?
Well, I mean, we sort of hinted at it before. I believe Crimea. It's the area with the most support for Russian. It has a large Russian population, and it's right near the border right there. So if anything happens, by the way, we forgot to mention this, the Russian military has actually mobilized.
Yes.
They say due to just training exercises.
Regular military exercises.
Just a completely regular
military.
Could
be anywhere. Well, but Russia's not a big country. So, you know, I can see why it could accidentally happen in Crimea because there's just not a lot of land over there.
But here in the studio, we like to pretend we have common sense. So if you type both.
No, Jordan and you do, but leave me out of this. Speak for yourself.
Well, so you can see this is sort of Russia saying we sort of support this president. I mean, look at their actions more than their words. In one way, they say, we're not going to intrude in this, but this is a perfect opportunity. For many of our viewers who don't know, Crimea actually used to belong to, I don't know what you would call it. Back then, it was the Soviet Union, but it used to be part of
Russia.
Baltics?
No, yeah. Okay.
It used to belong to the Soviet Union, so this would be actually a perfect opportunity, a legitimate excuse for Russia to seize Crimea again.
And his supporters, and Matthew mentioned this, that one-third or so of Ukrainians that supported this president were overwhelmingly of Crimean origin.
Exactly.
And that's an area very sympathetic to him and of his mind. And more, frankly, more Russian sympathetic than Euro sympathetic. And I think that's effective. It's a logical place to go hide. We were talking because I'm like, do you want to hide where the Russian stormtroopers by the tens of thousands are rolling in and taking over the whole area? And then I thought, well, actually, since you did side with Russia and you're on their good side, not the folks who are sympathetic to Europe, maybe that's the best place to hide. And maybe you want the entire Russian military there just in case somebody comes looking for you. So
yes, but like Sergei Lavrov has stated time and time again, Russia will not get involved. And I don't know how to take that. I don't know whether they'd be willing. Russia has proven that back in the day, they are still willing to invade countries.
Anyway, his name is Russian for puppet.
But they have still proven that they are willing to use their military in order to seize countries. However, whether they will do that against UN orders, that's something to be left up to the future. But we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to say. Sorry, Jordan, go ahead.
The only person who can solve this crisis, as we all know, is Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. If Chuck Norris wanted to, it would be solved already.
So. Yeah, I must thank you.
I will break you.
It's Rocky IV, people. One of the greatest movies of all time.
I was thinking Rambo for some reason.
No, Rocky IV.
That's
Rocky,
right.
Rocky fights Ivan Drago.
I must destroy you.
If he dies, he dies. Greatest movie villain of all time.
Yeah, but
in
Rambo, he also
opinion.
Fights the Russian. Anyways.
I've never seen Rambo, actually.
No, the Rambo. Yeah, that's right. He goes in and he gets his hands on a Soviet helicopter gunship.
So Jordan is doubly right. Jordan is doubly right.
And that's in Afghanistan. By the way, the longest, all I'll say about this, the longest war in American history may start to come to an end at the end of this year if we can't ink another deal with Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan. That's okay. I'm just saying. That's an aside. But anyway, look, tensions are still really high in Ukraine, still protests in the streets, still going on since November. Fortunately, nobody's being killed anymore this week because the president has left and things are sort of standing down. But the trouble is Crimea is really, really close to Ukraine and all these Russian troops are right there. And so there's definitely some tension still there and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely. We'll just have to see how it plays out because as we've seen in the past, Russia is willing to invade sovereign nations in context of politics, but we'll see whether they're willing to actually cede this territory.
And here's Crimea's, our World War III I've been clamoring for.
That is the most scandalous thing he said, and it's about the 18th time he said it.
We ought to just all bomb each other and get it over with.
Done.
All hate each other.
Problem solved.
You know, my God hates your God. We all hate gay people. Who cares? Let's just all blow each other up.
That's why we love Jordan, because he's so warm and fuzzy. So, and by the way, Crimea is part of Ukraine, and now there's a big push to separate it and break it into two countries. That wouldn't cause any tension on the border, would it?
No.
Okay.
We anyway. Have so many great examples of that working before.
Oh, God. You know. All right, so last story I want to talk about, which kind of dovetails with what Jordan was just saying. So should I just play the sound first, and then we'll explain it later?
So I think so.
Okay, I'll explain. Well, no, let me explain a little bit first. Jason Collins, he's the player who came out a few months ago and announced he's a professional basketball player. At that time, wasn't affiliated with the team, announced that he was gay, and he got signed to a 10-day contract with the Brooklyn Nets. And I actually found out this week that the New Jersey Nets had moved to Brooklyn. I asked Jordan if it had to do with the Fort Lee traffic jam, and he said no.
Unfortunately, no. I would love if it did.
That would have been funnier, but I could see them leaving the state because of Chris Christie, who plummeted from first place 90%+ support in presidential polls to 11% dead last. But anyway, the New Jersey Nets signed Jason Collins to a 10-day contract. His first game was Sunday in LA against the Lakers at the Staples Center. And here's what that sounded like when they introduced Jason Collins to come into the game.
Getting ready to check into this game for Brooklyn at the scorer's table. You can begin to hear a little bit of a buzz in the crowd as Collins gets ready. Here it is.
Number 46, Jason Collins.
hear the applause. A historic moment at Staples Center as Jason Collins becomes the first openly gay athlete to play in any of this country's four major professional sports.
He was born in Northridge, California. In the league for a long time. Jersey, okay. Atlanta.
So regular listeners may know, no issue with gays, no issue with gay rights, gay athletes, I don't mind. Gay marriage, no problem. You're not marrying me, so no problem. Maybe if it would further my career. Okay, no, sorry. Sorry, honey. But I take huge issue with part of what's in there. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Somebody help me out. Four major sports? Hello? What's the fourth major sport? Football, basketball, baseball, in that order. What?
There are a lot of angry
tennis.
There are a lot
NASCAR?
Of angry,
rugby.
A lot of angry professional bowlers
hockey.
With you right now.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I guess they mean hockey, but you got to say it like
fellas,
that. Like,
they're talking hockey? About chess.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Aren't you from Ohio? Don't they like hockey in Ohio?
They don't like much of anything. We drive around and drink beer in Ohio. There's not much else to do. That's why.
That's something you probably shouldn't admit on the radio. Everyone in Ohio driving drunk.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Not Mardi Gras, you can't drive drunk.
Is it supposed to? I mean, what is it? Is it a hockey?
It's hockey.
Soccer?
It's hockey.
I'm sure more fans attend NASCAR than hockey in this country. Probably baseball.
But those Northeast elitists would never accept NASCAR as their own.
They only play hockey in three states,
baseball's
right?
Baseball's dead, by the way.
Massachusetts and Minnesota. I mean, where else do you play hockey?
At this point in our nation, it's football and basketball.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Baseball's dead.
The Miami Marlins built a new stadium in downtown. It even has a roof.
What, 20 people in?
Yeah, I mean, I kid you not. They have triple-digit attendance some games, like 400 fans. It's appalling. By the way, partly paid for by taxpayer dollars. Don't get me started. Something else Jordan and I think agree on. So
yeah, I don't believe in publicly funded sports stadiums.
Yeah, I'm like, no, sorry. But this caught me. It was funny because everybody else was talking about, you know, how historic it was and great. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Don't care. Jason Collins, can he play basketball? That's all I care about. I could care less about.
See, Dr. K, this is why we need the FCC in these stations, because they can catch things like this. We're clearly offended.
But this was the thing. Like, I was literally screaming at my television when I saw this the first time. I was like, what? So, anyway, it was pretty funny. Anyway, thank you for joining us on The Devil's Advocate. If you are a new listener, please tell your friends. We love to have folks listen. Join the conversation again on social media. Twitter at, what is it? It's The Raider 881. Sorry, Facebook, The Raider 881.
He's old.
I'm old and did get my coffee. Exactly right. Social media, what's that? So, yeah, please feel free to join the conversation.
What's a computer?
Listen every Wednesday at 5 to the smartphone. And please tell your friends. And by the way, remember, go back, listen to shows from previous episodes, which are now posted online. Thanks to Derek. We'll see you next week.